Today, we're going to talk about stress. Anyone here have a little, even this morning? Traffic jams? Yeah. I think this is a great month to talk about it because isn't May the busiest month of all? Yeah. So it's good. Our speaker today is Amy Moreno. She's a professional counselor and she's on staff here at Xenos. She's been in Xenos 34 years, I believe. How's that feel? Does that feel weird? Yeah. She's also been a missionary to Russia, and she has two daughters that are ages 17 to 24. So she has certainly experienced her share of stress over the years and is going to share some things she's learned. So let's pray, and we'll have her come on up. Well, God, I know as a young girl, you helped me find the verse in 1 Peter, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And I know that verse has meant a lot to me over the years, knowing that you care. So I just thank you that you, even though we don't know all the different stresses people in this room have, you know intimately what they're all about and you care about them. So I just really pray you will use Amy today to give us the wisdom we need and the encouragement. And I just thank you that you've created the church where we can have other Christians support us and help us through stressful times. So I just pray you will just encourage people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Kim. Well, I'm impressed. Ooh, that's loud. Does that feel loud? Feels loud. I'm really impressed that you guys are all here. Did you realize what kind of day it is out there? And you want to come here and think about stress? Well, that's impressive. So this is kind of a vague topic, isn't it? Stress and parenting. What, obviously our children are under a lot of stress, right? But what comes to your mind when you think about stress? What are you thinking about? What makes you stressed? What do you struggle with? Shoot out some stuff. What brought you here today? What are you thinking? What are you hoping for? Drama with family. That creates an awful lot of stress. What other things create stress in our lives? Oh, absolutely. 100%. Husbands create so much stress. What else? Huh? Finances. Yes. So there are an awful lot of stressors in life, right? And there can be major life stressors, which are very difficult to navigate through. There are also like day-to-day stressors that, depending on how many of those are and the length of them, can also be really difficult to manage through. Like Kim said, I am familiar with stress. I've had some major life stressors where in the middle of them, I really wondered whether I could survive them. I lost my husband unexpectedly when we were living in another country, and so that event created so much chaos and so much stress in the lives of my daughters and me. And so I have become intimate, I don't know if friends is the right word, but I have become intimate with anxiety, with depression, with stress, and being able to develop a framework for understanding stress and how do you manage it so that it doesn't take over your life has been very difficult. I know working as a professional counselor, this is often the state of many of my clients. Stress is common for all of us. And it doesn't matter so much what we're dealing with, but it's how we deal with it that is the big factor. So we all have a lot of stress. And we need to develop a framework for understanding stress and how we can handle it more effectively. Maybe some of us are a little more prone to stress than others. I think given some of our personalities, some of us tend to think too much, it can create more stress in our lives. I know that this is a regular conversation that I have with my daughter who's now 17. You know, she tends to be a lot more like her mom. She's more prone to anxiety and stress. And so we're having to figure out and have conversations a lot about how do we manage stress? How do we think about it? How do we move at it so that it's not so destructive in our lives? We see stress in our children. How many here feel like your children know what stress is really like? Yeah, and it's painful. It's really painful to see your kid go through hard things and to see what stress does to them and the anxiety it creates in their lives. So stress has become a really normal condition for most of us. I've given you a pretty excessive handout on stress. I did this because I've hit so much material about stress, and actually I went at it a little too much, too intensely, because I want to offer a class in the fall about managing disruptive moods and stress being one of them. So I've compiled a lot of information. I'm not going to hit all this information. I'm just going to highlight a few things out of this packet, but I wanted this to be a resource for you guys. You know, I broke it down to different ages, different things that your child might be dealing with in that age category, and then what are some helpful tools or helpful skills that might be able to, you know, you can do or you can help your child learn. I also gave you, well, the first thing was a questionnaire for parents. How stressed are you? Do you even know how stressed you are? Some of us aren't even really tuned into it that much and can't identify it in our lives. And it's important to know how stressed are you and where is your stress. The other one is a stress test for children. Looking over that, can you score that for your child? And you know, depending on what's going on in your life, maybe your child would have a pretty high score. You gotta pay attention to that. Stress is hard to deal with. And our children don't have categories for knowing how to talk about that stuff. That's where we come in. It's our job. It's part of what we get to do as parents. So we wanna be able to move towards our children and help them handle stressful things. What I am going to talk about is what is stress, how can we identify the sources of stress, how can we manage stress in ourselves, very key, and our children more effectively, and when does stress become toxic? So we need a working definition of stress. Stress is a life event or situation that causes an imbalance in an individual's life. An unhealthy response to stress occurs when the demands of the stressor exceed the individual's coping ability, right? Stress is too high, don't know how to handle it. I hope that wasn't me. I think I turned it off. Often, stress results from something that's beyond our control. We don't feel like we have control over the situation. It creates a lot of stress. There is such a thing as normal stress. It is the daily and life challenges. We all have it. We all need to be able to deal with it. These are transitions. They're demands on our time, demands at work. It's our kids getting sick can be very stressful. Missing work, maybe because your kids are sick. For our children, things like going to school, grappling with their identity, being afraid of the dark, feeling peer pressure, all of these things can create stress. It's very normal. It's not necessarily bad stress. Bad stress occurs when our coping mechanisms are overwhelmed by the stress and we do not function at our best, right? Maybe we are having a hard time functioning at all. That is the result of bad stress. So it's when ordinary stress can become too much, right? It can be multiple stressors, a lot of stuff hitting at one time. Or it can be the length of a stressor. This just doesn't feel like it's ending. And so I feel trapped in it. Or even the anticipation of a negative event can create a lot of stress for us. It sets us off balance. Things that are examples of bad stress are going to be death, divorce, remarriage, moving, long illnesses, family or community violence, natural disaster, fear of failure, right? These are all going to be examples of bad stress. There is good stress. That's the optimal amount of stress that results in our feeling energized and motivated to do our best work. If you have no stress before a big event in your life, you may not be functioning at your best. A little bit of energy, a little bit of nerves can create a good result. So good stress will happen before a test, right? It's going to make you more alert. You're going to concentrate better if you have a little bit of stress. Meeting new people, learning a new skill, playing an exciting game. Or what about a roller coaster? You're going to have some stress before you get on it, even if you love roller coasters. But that's good. It makes the excitement that much more exciting, right? So not all stress is bad. We have to recognize when it becomes bad, though. So when we think about sources of stress, you know, our world has changed so dramatically that I think the level of stress that we're under today is probably very different than 50 years ago. I mean, if you think about it, in the 1950s, people slept an average of 9 hours a night. Can you imagine that? 9 hours a night. That's like even sleeping in, you probably don't get that. They didn't start work until 9 a.m. Sundays were always a day off. Imagine that. So today, we sleep an average of 6.5 to 7 hours a night. We're optimally, we function best at 8 hours. So most of us are not getting the sleep that we need. Work days don't necessarily have an end anymore. In the 1950s, they came home at 5, work was done. Now we live and breathe work. We're tied to it 24/7. We have electronics that are stimulating our brains all the time. So our brains aren't getting proper rest anymore. There is no such thing as a day off, is there? Businesses, most businesses operate 7 days a week. Many are going to 24/7. So there's no downtime. I mean, if you ever go to Walmart at 3 a.m, you'll see massive amounts of people there. We don't have any structure in our culture anymore to relax, to have scheduled downtime where we can de-stress in our lives. It has an impact. It's had a huge impact. It's had an impact on people's health. It's had an impact on relationships, families, the whole gamut. We're not heading in a good direction. But probably for most of us, this is not the kind of stress that keeps us up at night, right? It's more like, how am I going to get done all the things that I have to do? There are just not enough hours in the day. And so we spin in the middle of the night. How am I going to get this stuff done? Or how am I going to handle conflict? I've got this real issue going on with this person, and I don't know how to deal with it. Or maybe there's been marital tension, and it's keeping you up. That's the kind of stuff that we tend to spin in. Or my kid. How is my kid ever going to graduate high school if they keep pulling the grades that they're pulling? You know, we worry about those kinds of things. Or my kid can't keep a friend. They don't have a best friend. Or they're always being bullied at school. These day-to-day issues tend to spin and keep us up at night, keep us struggling. So we need to be able to figure out, when we talk about sources of stress, we need to be able to figure out what is really bothering us, right? That narrowing it down to the one or two things that's really bothering us will help us be able to problem solve more effectively in our lives. Some of the unhelpful and potentially damaging things that stress can bring, that we can get into, is when we tell ourselves things like, I'm so overwhelmed, I can't take it anymore, everybody is watching me, I can't handle this, I'm gonna faint, I am such a loser. That these habits, these mental habits, can make the stress response last so much longer and make it so much more punishing than it needs to be. Those statements are super unhealthy, right? And yet we say them to ourselves often. So it increases the stress that we're under. What we want to do is be able to work with ourselves. Maybe this is in the context of working with a good friend. Help me identify what's really going on. This is important to do with our children, getting to the bottom of what's really bothering them. So, for example, maybe as a mom, you're having a talk with your kid, and you're doing some reflective listening. And so you say, so you're feeling angry that Johnny called you a bad name and it hurt your feelings. And you're afraid that he's mad at you and he might call you another bad name. No, Mom, that's not it. It's my teacher. I know that she hates me because she gave me a D on my spelling test. Oh, I see. So you're afraid that Mrs. So-and-so is upset with you and that's why she gave you a D on the spelling test. No, she gave everybody a D. It's this stupid play that I have to do. I know I'm going to forget all my lines. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. It is scary to be in front of people like that and have to say all that stuff. I get scared too. How can we make this less scary? Right? You're moving into problem solving. You've identified it, and now we got to move at it. What can we do to make this less scary? Maybe if we practice it together over and over, you'll know it so well that how could you ever forget it, right? So what's the difference here? Is that we're helping our child to identify the real source of what's going on. And we do this with empathy, and we do this with reflective listening. If we don't do it, what would have happened? We probably would have started reacting to the fact that this kid was calling our child a bad name. Well, that's not right. You can't have that happening. How are we going to move at that, right? And so we would have gone on a rabbit trail. Or maybe we would have gotten upset with the teacher. What do you mean the teacher gave everybody a D on the spelling test? Again, another rabbit trail. But really, that wasn't what was bothering our kid. And so getting down to what is really going on. Most times, even with us, we don't start with the real issue. We warm it up in the conversation. Right? You're trying to find safety. So you don't just lay out what's really bothering you right away. Our kids are the same way. So we've got to be working with them. Empathetic listening is invaluable. It is really crucial in our relationships with our children and in our relationships with others. And yet we don't do it. We don't do it. We're usually instructing, we're telling, we're thinking we get the problem, and then we go right into problem solving. Problem solving will be really ineffective if you haven't identified the problem, right? Problem solving's great when you hit the right problem. So we can all take a little more time to do this. Plus, as we're doing it, we're helping them to think, to process, and figure out how to problem solve. We're giving them really helpful tools and skills that they're going to be able to continue using. So managing stress. Okay, this is interesting. This came up in all of the literature I've been reading about stress. Things that make us most vulnerable to bad stress is when the stress is on the left-hand side, when it is unpredictable, when it is severe, when it is prolonged. We're vulnerable to negative, to bad stress. What makes us more resilient under stress is when things are predictable, when it's moderate, when it's controlled. So it occurred to me, how can we get things to the right-hand side? How can we make things in our lives more predictable, more moderate, more controlled? And I think that we can do this with many of our stressors. So let's think about it a little bit. Predictable. To make things more predictable, what would that mean? If you think about it, the stuff that is happening today feels more manageable, right? You look at your day, I can do this, I can meet with this person, I can handle this job at work, I can handle this fit from my child. What feels unmanageable is when you start thinking about the future. How is this going to work out? You know, what is going to happen in this scenario? And when we start getting obsessed and focused on the future, it just increases our anxiety and it makes stress feel unmanageable. I think that this is where the wisdom of Matthew 6 is really applicable. So it's a long set of verses here, 25 through 34. Might anyone have brought a Bible that they would like to read this for me? Thank you, Lindsay. See her looking it up. Or you could read it off the screen, I don't care. But better you reading than me. Right there, sorry.
Thank you. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much more valuable? Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Yeah, there's a lot of insight in this passage that I think is worth thinking about. A few key things. The birds aren't stressed. Why are birds not stressed? because they know that food is going to come from somewhere, and they'll figure it out tomorrow when they need it, right? Today they're just eating, and they're enjoying it, and they're flitting and flying around. They're not worried about tomorrow. And God takes care of the birds, right? And that's very key. He says, we do have this Heavenly Father that cares for us, right? If he cares for the birds and he cares for the lilies of the field, how much more might he care for his creation, for his people that he worked to create and develop, right? And so understanding this God and what he is all about, and his power and his sovereignty and his love and his grace is so crucial to having that kind of relationship with him where you can trust that he's really going to take care of you today and tomorrow and for the rest of your life, as well as your children, right? And but for so many of us, even though maybe we've had a relationship with God for a long time, obviously, as Kim pointed out, mine has been too long, we can get trapped into not acting on these things that we believe, right? That's a real problem in our lives. We say these things, we teach these things, we preach these things, but we're not really acting as though they're true. We compartmentalize and we say, oh, this stuff God must not be concerned about, right? He's saying, whoa, looky here. See these birds? I care about those. I know every number of hairs on your head. Why would I not care about the things that are stressing you out in life? And so really, our stress, our anxiety should draw us into a deeper relationship with the Lord, where we really do start to experience his calm, his confidence, his peace, and all of that, right? So it becomes acting on the things that we know to be true. What are we telling ourselves day in and day out? I'm so overwhelmed. I can't handle this. I can't do this. What is God saying? I got it. I'm taking care of you. You don't need to worry about it. It will work out. I'm involved. I'm invested. So, knowing your God is really key. If you don't know God, then that's where you need to start, in developing a relationship with God. And that starts with understanding there's a barrier between you and him. And it's going to take something to erase that barrier. Thankfully, God sent his son, Jesus, to take care of that for us. Because somebody had to pay for the sin that is between us and God. And so God, in his grace and his mercy, put that all on his own son so that we don't have to be under that punishment. And so it starts with accepting that fact, receiving Jesus into your heart. And for those of us that have done that, let's recognize what we've done and the power source that we do have to live this life. So worry adds nothing to our lives. If anything, it takes an awful lot from us, right? It creates a lot of negative physical things. And I think this bottom line is really key. Every day has enough worry of its own. Why are you getting caught up in tomorrow? Do you know that God is not going to give you what you need for tomorrow until tomorrow? It's kind of the way that he works. He gives you what you need when you need it. So for us to get ahead of ourselves, to get ahead of the game, we're really circumventing what God wants to do. He wants us to be in today. How do we pull ourselves into today? It's by how we think. What are you letting yourself think about? pull your head into what is going on now. Tomorrow, you can worry about tomorrow. So making things more predictable, let's get back to that slide, is going to be staying in today and recognizing that you do have everything you need to be able to handle today and that you can get into tomorrow. Moderate. It's recognizing when too much is too much. It's prioritizing things so that we're not handling multiple stressors at one time. It's asking ourselves, what do I really need to tend to today so that my to-do list isn't massive or I'm not putting myself under so much pressure to do things that really don't need to be done today? And this is difficult for many of us. Many of us are always thinking about our to-do list, and we have it so long and so cumbersome that we can't even enjoy what's going on to today. And so sometimes it's really bringing a friend in and having them help you prioritize things. How do I set my life up so that I'm not overdoing it, so that I'm not creating too much in my life? I think, personally, and this is something that I preach about a lot, I think we need to have schedule and structure to our lives. And I think our children really need schedule and structure. Because what a schedule does, if you know things are kind of planned out, then in your mind, you know you have time to get to this task. And you can wait until that time to get to that task, and you don't need to keep spinning in your head, when's it gonna happen? When's it gonna happen? How am I gonna do this? How am I gonna manage it, right? Because you've set it up. You've created a schedule. You've created structure so that things can be pretty planned out. I think this is essential for kids. Kids need to have some structure so that they can have the headspace to know this is when I'm going to deal with my history project. And they don't have to spin in it all the time either, right? Some of us, this is a real challenge to create schedule, to create structure. Pull people in that can be helpful. You know, one of the best things that God has given us is the body of Christ. And we are all different, and we all do have different gifts and different strengths. We need to utilize those, even in the pragmatic things of daily life. How do you do life? Help me learn how to do life more effectively. So, for example, making something moderate. Say I have a conflict with my friend. And we've planned a couple hours on Friday afternoon to talk this issue through. And so I think to myself, okay, what is the one thing that I really want to be clear about in this conflict? What's the one thing that I really want her to understand? Very key here, right? Landing on one thing so that we're not overdoing it. What's the one thing I want to communicate? So maybe I've landed on, okay, I really would like her to understand X. And the way that I would like to be is open and being able to hear and understand her. All right, and so I've been thinking and spinning about this issue, you know, for days, right? And so now, after I've landed on it and scheduled it, I can give myself permission to not think about it anymore. I can say, on Friday afternoon, as I'm driving to meet with her, I'm going to be praying, and I'm going to be asking the Lord to do His work and His will in that conversation. But until that point, I really don't have to think about it. I can let it go. Crucial. This is so crucial because we don't do that. We don't give ourselves permission to not think about something. This was saved my sanity in the middle of so many stressors in my life after my husband died, is that I had to prioritize things and I had to figure out how to schedule when I was going to get to what. Because if I didn't, I was spinning in it all the time. Well, what about this? And what about this? And how's this going to work out? But I couldn't manage all of it in a day's time. And not all of it needed to be managed in a day's time. So being able to put some structure to that was extremely helpful. And I felt like I didn't get taken out by the incredible amount of pressure that was going on. So it can happen. Controlled. It's a big word for a lot of us. It seems simple enough, but it really is not. Recognizing what is under our control and what is not. Most of the things we stress about are things that are outside of our control. Somebody's opinion of me. What control do I have over that? Zero, none, zip. Don't need to go there. Doesn't matter, right? Getting an A on a test. Do you realize you don't really have control over that? You can control how much time you invest into studying, right? How you're going to study so that you can do your best on the test, but you really can't control the outcome. And so we can spin on things that are outside of our control. What about my child not throwing a temper tantrum in the middle of the grocery store? It's outside your control, right? You can control talking to your child on the way to the grocery store and explaining what behavior is expected and what rewards we'll get for good behavior, but controlling your child's action in the middle of the grocery store, is it into your control? Not really. Not really. And we spin in a lot of these things that are outside of our control. I remember an airplane ride with my baby. She was one, first airplane ride. And she's screaming and she's carrying on because, you know, she did, and that's what it was. And I'm doing everything I know to do to quiet my baby and take care of her. And so the stewardess comes along. I don't know, what do they call them now? They don't call them that anymore. Flight attendants, yes. The flight attendant came along and said, you need to hush your baby. She's disturbing all the other people. Woo, thank you. Way outside of my control, obviously. And so, and I had to recognize that someone is trying to put something on me that I really can't control. We need to recognize this in our lives too. What is happening that is under my control and what's not? And a caveat to this, be careful how you talk to other people about this kind of stuff. Is it under their control to do something about? Or are you asking them to do something that's not really under their control? It's simple, but it's necessary to think about that. And with your child, think about that. Is this something that's under their control? And how can we talk about it so that they can own it and they can control it? So helping our kids to manage stress, I think some of the best things that we can do as parents when our children are stressed is stay calm, stay approachable, being good listeners, and good problem solvers. right? Those are invaluable for our children. So stress is going to become dangerous. When we talk about what is toxic in stress, when it interferes with your ability to live a normal life for an extended period of time, there can be stressors that maybe take us out for a day or two, or even sometimes a week. But when you're looking at somebody or your own life and it has been living under this stressor for an extended period of time, it has become toxic. And it needs probably some more input. When the atmosphere at home is filled with tension, irritability, frustration, when there isn't downtime, when there's no playful times, when there's no times to relax, stress will become very toxic, especially for your children. It will for you as well, but your children will feel it and they will be acting out of it. If there is a lot of fighting, marital tension, or maybe it's one kid at home that is problematic in different ways, and a lot of focus and tension is on that, the environment can become very toxic for the other children and for you. So we need to watch for that stuff. You know, some of the best ways to, the best antidote for stress, I don't think I have this, is that a major factor in healing appears to be the nature, quality, intensity, and stability of a person's relationships, right? This is the place that all of us de-stress the best, as we're able to connect with people, as we're able to talk things through with people. So for all of us, having good relationships with our spouse, with our kids, and our friends is going to be the best antidote to a stressed life. So we want to have regular times that we're doing that with all of these important people in our lives. Okay? So I just wanted to make a comment about the reading, suggested reading. So Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers, fascinating. I thought it was a fascinating book. But it is secular, and it is very, it's a lot about the brain chemistry and how it affects you. So if you're interested in more of a heady read, that might be a book for you. Undoing Perpetual Stress, again, secular, thick, big book. I found it fascinating. A lot of helpful tools and skills on being able to manage stress. Don't Sweat the Small Stuff is secular also, but the thing I like about it is that it gets at the way that we think about things. And it's like, you know, broken down into 30 little short readings. And it's insightful because the way that we think really will create a lot of stress in our lives. So if we can start to tap in to some of the distorted ways we think, we're going to be able to help decrease stress. Running Scared is on anxiety. He is a Christian author, very helpful. People have gotten a lot of mileage out of that book. So that's all I've got as far as reading. I might be adding more as I keep investigating and researching, but today that's what I got. So what do you guys have? What thoughts, questions? Yeah.
I was just thinking one thing that's helped me recently is just to put it in perspective, because I just recently showed the movie The Hiding Place to my kids, which is about two Christian sisters that ended up in a Nazi concentration camp. Yeah. Talk about stress and unexpected and all that. And it just made me think, this really helped me watch it, because to put in perspective what I'm dealing with, it's nothing compared to what people around the world deal with.
Yeah.
So just that mindset, you know, it's not as huge as what other people deal with.
Right, that is good. It is good. Anybody else have thoughts, concerns, questions?
No problem.
Don't talk till you get the mic.
Sorry. So I just had a question when you were talking about scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it actually makes me more stressed. I mean, I actually just had a breakdown about this yesterday. Like, I just want an unscheduled day. Like, and when I have somewhere to be, then it's just, mm-hmm. if there's a time anywhere on anything. So, like, I have to be very careful to, like, if I have tasks to do throughout the week, like, okay, tomorrow I'm going to get this one thing done.
Yeah,
that's it. That's the only thing I have to do. And, like, but being here, my life is very scheduled, like, mm-hmm. with my work and my kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, all those factors, you have mm-hmm. to schedule things in. So do you have any suggestions for someone like that that
Yes,
can't
absolutely.
Really schedule?
One, make sure you schedule damn time. You know, it's fascinating when, you know, I do this assignment with people and they come back with their schedule and there's no damn time. Or it's, you know, 5 minutes here or 15 minutes there, or it's multitasking while they're, you know, supposedly having downtime. We can't handle that. Our brains can't handle that. That some of the best stuff about decreasing stress is when you know that there's a break and you know you've got time off, then you can kind of get through what you got to get through because you know you've got some headspace coming. So, yes, make sure you do that. And also, depending on the stage of your life, you know, sometimes it is best to just think about, okay, these are the major two or three things that need to happen today. Everything else is a bonus, you know, especially when you've got little kids, absolutely, because there are going to be so many disruptions and distractions, and it will increase your stress if you feel like your kids are always trying to keep you from getting done what you need to get done. So,
I just really like that point. One of the things that you suggested for my husband and I when we were in counseling with you was to schedule like a zone out night or just a completely down night. And that like struck me because I was like, that's impossible. Like, you know, so a time that's not a date night or not something like that, just a be at home night with nothing going on. And mm-hmm. I noticed like the weeks that we do that, it's so helpful because there's time to plan for the next week. There's time to like shoot off an email if you need to do that. And so these things aren't like piling up.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's just time to like laugh and play with the kids and like not worry about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been really cool. And we fall off that a lot. You know,
mm-hmm.
we'll schedule like, oh, come over for dinner, these people, or do this or do that. But if we like really hold to that, it really does help. But seems like a lot to ask with all of our crazy schedules, but it's really important. So
yeah.
I just, it's been good for us. So.
Yeah. The fact that our culture has moved away from having a day off doesn't make it right. You know what I mean? And so we have to really resist some of the things that are pressuring in on us. And just because somebody else is living a 24/7 life doesn't mean that that's going to work best for us. And so being able to navigate and critique and figure out what does a healthy life look like is important, really important, because we're not going to see it in our culture.
I mean, along those same lines, but I know I had a discussion recently with some people and just how that's biblical. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Sundays, and obviously there's plenty that is scheduled on Sundays now, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure that it can be gotten away from, you know, without becoming very legalistic about it or about other things.
Absolutely.
That it's not, but that what's biblical is that there is a day of rest, whether it's a, you know, a full day. I mean, there has to be some discussion, but how that is how we were created.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, that's something I'm trying to learn, that, you know, to let myself off the hook some and my family and everything else, because we don't have to fill up everything, because that is what we were designed to do, is
mm-hmm.
to take some time and rejuvenate and to be able to do the work that we're called to do.
Absolutely.
So.
Great point. And, you know, another kind of qualifier to that is that we all relax and rest differently. You know what I mean? And so what may be effective for one person will be ineffective for another person. You know, I know for me, and the kind of work that I do and the kind of ministry that I'm involved with, I need a day that's non-mental. You know what I mean? I can't, I don't want to deal with people. I don't want to think about anything. I don't want to manage any of it. And so I have a whole day set up that is just, you know, I want to do things like clean my house and go grocery shopping and mindless things. And that is really rejuvenating and relaxing for me. If I tried to put that on my husband, there would be so much lashback from that, right? Because that's not how he relaxes. It's not how he rests. So understanding that we're different and we can't necessarily prescribe for everybody that this is what rest looks like is important.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what to do with this thing I'm about to say, but my husband travels a lot, and I'm very lucky that I don't have to work. We've got 2 3-year-olds, and one of the things that I find is really cool is when he takes us on a trip with him, if it's one where he can handle having us around, but we wind up in a hotel room with just a few articles of clothes, and we're there for a week or maybe 2 weeks, and I got to figure out, you know, how to feed us and stuff like that, but there's like being out of our own house in just a real simple environment where there's nothing to do except maybe play in the pool, if there is one, or play in the bathtub or jump on the beds or read books. And I don't have my stuff that I need to do staring at me or anything. And it's just really rejuvenating for us. I I'm not sure what to make of that or do. It's just an observation I wanted to share. It's been really good for us.
That's great. So what is the insight about that?
Get rid of your stuff.
Move.
It's just, you know, sometimes cool to get away from your own complicated environment.
Yeah.
And just move to someplace simple for a while.
Right. That's kind of why vacations are really important. Yeah. Is that it's something about getting out of your routine and all the things that are bearing down on you day in and day out and doing something that is so different. And it can be, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be like we're just sitting doing nothing, but there's something about getting outside of what you do day to day gives you a break, refreshes you, and rejuvenates you to come back and get back into your routine. So vacations. Or just, you know, even going camping. Or a day trip. You know, go to Amish country for the day and just see different things. It can really refresh you, rejuvenate you. Right?
Yeah.
Is that the insight?
Yeah.
Okay. Not trying to put words in your mouth.
This is kind of a twofold question. One is about the culture and being involved in many things within Xenos. I worry a little bit that we're so busy that the culture who's, you know, I'm committed to staying home until my kids are, if possible, I mean, my husband could lose his job, things could change, but I made a conscious choice to stay home, even though sometimes it's harder. It would be easier to think, oh, well, I'm more significant if I'm doing something else besides this, because that's kind of the mentality I get from other people. Like, really? That's what you do? And they're at school? What do you do all day?
Nothing.
I feel like I could use 2 more hours at least every day. But anyways, in thinking about our culture, a lot of people both have full-time jobs, mommy and dad. And dad maybe travels, as I'm thinking of one neighbor we have. I don't think they would ever sign up for some of the schedule changes of taking away evenings from them or just different things like that. So I worry about, are we too busy as a church to come alongside people who are even busier than we are sometimes? So that's one question. The other one is when I feel like I'm too busy and some of the things may cut out that things that I think are good or spiritual or these relationships are important. I find it difficult to stand against even what the tide of sometimes people who are spiritual and well-meaning but in a different stage of life are saying should be done at this stage of life. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So one question is how do we kind of meet people where they're at recognizing that they also have very intense schedules and they may look a lot different than ours. And the other question is, how do we handle other people's advice and opinions in our life? Is that right? Yeah. Meeting people where they're at takes creativity. You know, we often think there is one model for witnessing to people, and it's come see, but a lot of times it's go invest, you know, go have some conversations with people, go create an atmosphere where you can talk about real things. You know, we don't want them making all these changes and developing all these convictions to change their life without developing a relationship with the Lord. All of that stuff comes after the fact. But do we have flexibility and creativity in our lives that we can move towards people and meet them where they're at and be having real conversations with people? You know, I think that that's a challenge for all of us. Other people's opinions, that's what they are. They're other people's opinions. And not everybody knows how to do your life the way that it should be done. So I think we need to take people's input, absolutely, 100%. I think we need to be praying and seeking the Lord. We need to be asking for wisdom. And I think that the Lord will guide that. But to just take people's opinions, as, you know, truth in your life or what you should be doing, will probably end up in you'll end up in a whole heap of trouble. So we want to be open to input, but it's not necessarily where we end up landing all of the time. Melissa?
I feel like when the kids, having young kids is super stressful, as we all know, but if I'm also stressed out about my relationship with my husband, the stress with the kids is unbearable.
Yeah, yes.
So, like,
good point.
My dear husband will whisk me away once a year. Thank God that he plans that and he sees that as a priority, because it's really helpful for strengthening our relationship to endure the insanity of the young kids.
Yeah. Very good. One of the best de-stressors for your home is having a good relationship with your husband. Absolutely. Your kids feel it when there is marital tension. Your kids feel it. And it is, they would rather have, you know, them upset with you than you and your husband fighting. It just is the way it is. And so whatever we can do to work on our marriages and make them as satisfying and as calm as possible is worth it. It's worth it for everybody.
I had a quick question about scheduling with your kids and like making sure that they're on a structure. Mm-hmm. Well, like my week is like, we do things like crazy like every day. And so it's like every week doesn't necessarily look the same. But is it bad to be like, if I just let him know the schedule for the day? Because that might change. I guess when I hear structure, I'm like, oh, my day needs to look, like, Mondays always need to look this way, or Tuesdays need to look this way. But that's not always the case.
Right.
But for, is that, like, still?
Yeah, I think that, you know, everybody is going to look different, and everybody's going to approach this different, but it is being able, the point is, do you have space in your life to accomplish the thing that is stressing you out? And if you know you have a plan and you have space in your life to do that, then you can give yourself permission to not be spinning in it all the time, because you've got a plan of when you're going to tackle that. So that's the key thing. It will look different for everybody. You know what I mean? I'm not necessarily saying that your week has to be really rigid and inflexible, and that you have to stay to the same thing all of the time, but it is kind of knowing what is going to work best and when can you get to some of these tasks so that it doesn't create a whole lot of stress. My goodness, you guys have lots of questions.
I was just wondering if you could go back to the slide that you talked about, the best antidote.
Yes,
thank
you. There you go.
Hey, I was looking at your points under consider, like shielding kids from the last point, possible causes of stress or anxiety. it can worsen their anxiety. And how do you talk kids through stresses when you don't quite understand them yourself? You know, like, and there's a website here, but I'm curious if you, my dad died a year ago. My son was very much a part of that, mm-hmm. very, very much a part of it. And my mom's dying now. He's very much a part of that. She lived with us and he'd help take her food. There's a lot of stress. I mean, there's a couple of other yeah. emotional things going on.
Yeah.
And I see these points in both of my kids, 2 and 7. And I don't think it's a bad thing, what we're exposing them to. It's reality. Mm-hmm. But I really second guess that as, you know, it's hard to think through it, and I don't know how to take that step of, I mean, it's okay to be sad, but the constructive mm-hmm. second step maybe, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Sometimes it's being able to figure out what is manageable for our kids and what's not manageable. You know, some of the stressors that we undergo in our life, I know in losing my husband and having to move back countries and all that kind of stuff, there were some things that my kids could handle, and there were some things that they just didn't need to be a part of because it was just too much. And so I think that our kids will give us a lot of cues about that. You know what I mean? When we start seeing them really fall apart and they can't really control the emotional, or they're not able to concentrate in school, or, you know, they're withdrawing from their friendships or whatever it is, that maybe we need to assess, is this a little too much? What can we do to pull it back some? You know, that I agree, having your children involved in a process like that is really important, but hearing how they're managing it, how they're thinking about it, how it's affecting them is gonna be more crucial for you being able to assess when is too much too much. Is that helpful? Okay.
My question, I think, goes back to your point about when you have a conflict with someone and you kind of decide what the one thing is. And I think that was a really helpful suggestion. And I guess I would like to draw in more insight you might have along those lines, because I'm really good at structuring my life. Like, that's no problem. I can color coordinate a schedule and keep my kids and my family on it and all that. But I struggle with keeping my mind in check. Like, yeah. we have a lot of about 2 or 3 years now, very, very toxic situations and people that we've been involved in and just trying to manage. And mm-hmm. I really struggle when those things flare up to know how to shut my brain off. Because mm-hmm. at night I'll be mulling over all the dynamics and the conversations and I just can't shut it off. Usually because there's looming conversations that are needing to be had and, you know, a lot of, so I loved that point, but I would love to hear any more insight you might have into how to turn the brain off.
Recognizing what's under your control and what's not under your control. You can't change people's behaviors. So what is it that I want to communicate? What do I wish they could hear and understand about this? And how can I then communicate that effectively? Stop. Period. That's all we can do. Right?
Suggestions how to stop.
That's, and
I have
so
a melancholy mind that just
right.
keeps
so the stopping becomes recognizing these are all the things I can't control. And so I have to release those. I have to let those go. Right? And then it's being able to start thinking about something else that's more healthy. You know, one of the skills that we don't often use enough in our obsessive thinking about things is this idea of distraction, and yet we do it. It is a skill that we all are competent at. If you're having a conflict with somebody and then you go and see a movie, chances are you haven't thought about that conflict for the 2 hours that you were seeing the movie. Why? Because something else has caught your attention. And then when you come out of the movie, you will be thinking differently because you've had a break from thinking about it. We can discipline our minds to stop thinking about something and think about something else. For some of us, it may take a lot of prayer. Help me turn this off, Lord. help me get into something else. But I often recommend to people, you know, give yourself some time to think about something and go for it. You know, spin, think about all your fears and your worries and blah, 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 and then cut it off and make sure you have something planned that will stimulate your mind. Like, go hang out with a friend and talk to them about their life, you know, or go to home church and have two or three people that you want to move towards. And we can shut it off when we have something else planned that will take our attention. That make sense?
Sure.
Yeah. It's practice. It's a lot of practice. But what we do is we think, I have to think about it. I have to think about it. I have to think about it. It's not true. It's not true.
So I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this, and this is something I went through, was having postpartum depression. And I think it's more common than I thought it was. And having young kids, I went through a lot, I'm still going through a lot of stress, but I feel like getting help with that aspect and getting medicated actually helped a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying if you're going through stress, you need to get checked out for getting medication, but it is something to consider if it's something you just cannot press through.
Right.
So I thought I would just throw that out there.
Yeah, that's great. And that's the kind of thing, when you feel like things are toxic or you can't get out of it, being able to have somebody else, maybe someone professionally or someone, a good friend that knows you really well, help evaluate the situation. Has it become too toxic? Do you need some extra help that you're not getting? Some things we get into, we really don't know how to manage. And I tell you, if I didn't have a really great group of people that came around me with some of my huge stressors, I don't know that I would have managed very well. But, you know, that's the kind of thing, again, we're in the body of Christ. There are people that will come alongside and help and evaluate when too much is too much or it feels like it's gotten a little toxic. Do we just keep going till the cows come home, or? Okay, cool. Have you guys ever seen that? I saw that in a Russian village. It was the coolest thing ever. I never understood that term, but the cows, we were all in these little homes, and they had their gates open. And so this man was leading all the cows, and the cows knew exactly where to turn off and go to their home. And I was like, that's what it means when the cows come home. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. Anyway, sorry.
This is something that you've helped me with that I thought maybe might help other people too, is managing our own expectations. And I know, I think that they're, like, when I was in school and single, I could have a lot of control over most of my life. And with a husband and kids and all these things that I can't control, there has to be, I'm slowly starting to have a change in my expectations of what I'm able to do. And so, yeah, we all think like this awesome organic cooked meal and our kids have clean clothes and like they get baths every night and all this stuff. And some of it's just not these realistic expectations. And one like little breakthrough that I had this week is, I mean, when it was rainy and the kids wanted to play outside, and I was like freaking out because I'm like, I have so much wash to do already, and every time you go out, these clothes are getting destroyed and I can't keep them clean. And I was like, I'm just gonna put all these dirty clothes in a bag, and if you want to go out tomorrow, you can just put on the same dirty clothes. And I was like, do you guys want to go outside to play? And it was like this huge breakthrough. And part of me, I have to get over expectations, because I'm like, what do people think? Like, what are the neighbors going to see when they see these, like, trash clothes? But then I was like, who cares? My kids are going to go outside. The clean clothes are going to get trashed in 2 minutes anyways. So now we just have this big bag, and I'm like, find something that fits. Have fun. But these slow expectation changes are giving me freedom and not caring what people think. And then me trying to get a realistic expectation. Like, if we have one great dinner that has a fruit or a vegetable and a hot this and a hot that's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If we have cereal and waffles and, you know, mm-hmm. grilled cheese the other three nights, my kids will be fine for
absolutely.
A while, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good point.
I love it. Perfect.